This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast that have 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined. We thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you want to join the conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. And if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you. And Windows says change is good.
Change is not good.
Would you like me to update?
But if you have loose change and you want to spend it on some merch for a subpar YouTube channel, you can head to thepopculturist.com/shop where you can buy all shirts, mugs, phone cases, anything we can slap our logo on. It is there.
If you haven't been able to tell, we're both quite unwell.
I am quite unwell. Yeah. You've got like...
I got like the gastro.
Gastro nation.
Which you're going to have soon now because you're in an enclosed...
I just got rid of the gastro, yeah, so that's stoked.
Because you're stuck in this enclosed room with me.
Mm-hmm. I have...
And you have a large face.
Yeah. I have a swollen lymph node on the side of my face and it fucking hurts.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. So the lymph nodes are what trigger like immune responses.
Okay. So we're getting a biology lesson.
Yeah, we're getting some biology. Okay. So either A, I have a cold. B, it's a virus. Mm-hmm. Or I've got fucking cancer. It's like three options. There's no like in the middle.
I'd say the most likely option is probably a cancer. a cold. The most likely option is a cold.
And like, I don't feel sick though. So
yeah, but that could be coming later.
That could come later. Yeah, no, it just really hurts. Like, it's kind of okay. It's tolerable now, but it's been very like I was at work and like I've had like jaw pain. I'm like, fuck, I think I've chewed my like clenched my teeth in my sleep. My jaw really hurt. And then I got to where someone's like, well, what's up with your face? I'm like, fuck you. They're like, no, you've got a bulge on your face. Yeah, yeah. And then
your cheeks are larger than usual. What? Oh, but only one of them. Oh.
Oh. And I proceeded to get bigger throughout the day. I'm like, I'm not going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to go to the doctor's. Then I did.
Nice.
So you just been pooping and vomiting?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool.
On the mend. I'm feeling a little bit better today.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I was like, I'm gonna feel a bit average today. Thursday, I was like, I'm feeling a bit less average today and more like death.
Yeah.
And then Friday, yesterday, it was just like, bleh.
Yeah, yesterday at time of recording.
Yeah, yesterday at time of recording. Friday, it was just bleh. So I haven't played anything for the last couple of days.
What did you play at the start of the week, though? Let me guess. And I'll use the power of the limp.
Oh, it just hurts.
I'm like, oh.
Oh, don't touch it. Yeah, just Monster Hunter earlier in the week. Because we did get codes for Metal Gear Survive on Wednesday. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Kat.
Breathe in saliva. And the team at QBS.
Passing us on two codes. So I downloaded it. Well, the code didn't work twice. I don't know why. But that was at the same time that you couldn't connect to the game. So I'm thinking maybe they were like connected somehow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you streamed it. I've got it downloaded. We're going to talk about that for the main topic of the show.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, only make just more Monster Hunter. I'm HR 67.
Jesus Christ, I'm like 6 still.
Yeah, Alex is a higher HR than you now.
Yeah, and he took on like Diablos and shit.
Oh yeah, big Diablos fucking destroyed him.
Yeah, every week it's more of like, hey, I've slightly progressed Monster Hunter. He's like, yeah, he bought a dragon.
Yeah, well, he beat Toby Kadachi on his first go. So he's up to Anjanath now, and he's a little bit worried about that.
Yeah. No, you helped me a bit, Andrew.
So he's farming Dratados to get the water.
What?
The water weapon. The one that's like swims in the water and spits muck and shit at you. Because you can make a water weapon, which, you know, helps with Andrew. But yeah, I'm doing like all the end game shit now. I'm not even close to finishing the game.
So you finished the story though?
I finished. Well, yeah, because the story runs credits, but that's kind of like tutorials over. Now you're in the end game.
Well, yeah, I know that. I mean, like, did you finish?
Yeah, I've ran the credits. The credits went for 9.5 minutes.
Very nice.
You can't skip them.
Hey, is that your second credit for the year or first?
Third.
Hey, nice work on the credits.
What was there? Pyre, Oxenfree, and Monster Hunter. But yeah, then you get into all the end game stuff of like farming tempered elder dragons to get better gear and optimize your sets, and I'm mucking around with all different weapons now. And
very cool.
It's just it's just fun. Like, I could walk away from it now and be like, you know, I'm done. Mm. But it's just fun to play. I just put on podcasts. You know, Alex goes to bed, whack on a couple podcasts and just fuck around. Mm. You know, I might accomplish nothing, but it's just fun to run around in. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
I hope next week I can talk about, you know, Metal Gear Survive when I get to play it. But you're going to talk about that later anyway.
Yeah, I am. So I played that. I actually haven't played a lot this week because, once again, doing the Oscar run with Dylan on Popcorn Spoilers every Friday, 8:30 p.m.
How was The Shape of Water?
It was good and weird.
Did it? Because back when Del Toro was doing Hellboy, he wanted to do a standalone Abe Sapien movie, who's, you know, the water dude in the Hellboy series, and they're like, nah. Now, this is, from what I've seen, it's kind of like, this pretty much is an Abe Sapien movie. Like, that character and his arc through the Hellboy series is pretty much this.
It is very much like, I had a story that I wanted to tell, and I had no way of telling it, so it's not Abe Sapien, but it kind of is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool story, though.
So they look very much... Oh, I haven't seen it, so I don't know if the characteristics are very similar, like, because Abe Sapien's very smart.
It's the identical actor.
Oh, is it really?
Yep. So same actor, the form is very similar.
Yeah. Like the webbed fingers.
The webbed fingers, that sort of stuff. He doesn't have the intelligence or the ability to speak. And
that's because he's been kept in like a bubble the whole time or something.
No, because they literally find him in the Amazon and they drag him into the center. Right, it's the first time you see him. And there's the whole idea is there's a female character. Her name is Eliza. She's a mute. Mm-hmm. So she speaks in sign language. And that's how she connects with... I just called him Seaman. It's how she connects with Seaman.
Like budget Aquaman.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Sort of unspoken communication.
I looked at, like, because I've been following what you have been covering each week, and The Shape of Water is pretty much the only movie I'm like, I do really want to see this.
It's pretty cool. I enjoyed it a lot. Get Out was pretty good too. But other than that, I've not really played a lot of games. I think I tried to play some Monster Hunter earlier in the week, and that didn't go too well.
What do you mean?
I just didn't play. I think I played for like 15 minutes and I'm going to bed.
You can't do anything in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just going to bed. I think I was just too tired. And yeah, then mostly Metal Gear Survive at this point.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll come to that later. So moving to the news, or the section we like to call Inform the Players, where we tell you about all the news and the latest goodies to come out of the PlayStation ecosystem universe.
6 bits of news this week. Number one, Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding features some big names from film and TV, and they'll be joined by veteran video game voice actor Troy Baker, because of course, and writer and actress Emily O'Brien.
What?
O'Brien shared an Instagram post of herself with Norman Reedus and Troy Baker writing, quote, honored to be working alongside these two fine lads on Kojima's new project, Death Stranding. O'Brien's recent credits include Days Gone, which is developed by Sony Bend, Arkane Studios' Dishonored Death of the Outsider, Telltale's Batman, The Enemy Within, and Guardians of the Galaxies and World of Final Fantasy. So she's got a bit of a pedigree. She's also had roles in League of Legends and recent TV roles in The Young and the Restless.
Oh!
Between a rock
that's
and a...
That's where I'd know it from.
And Rock and a Hard Place. And of course, we all know Troy Baker for... He's everything. Pretty much... He's as A-lister as you can get in terms of video game voice actors.
Him and Nolan.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about, you know, you get to Hollywood, you know, you get your Brad Pitts and your George Clooney's and all that kind of stuff. In the video game space, it is, Nolan North and Troy Baker. So cool, I guess.
Pretty damn cool.
I don't know. It's I don't know what to say about this game.
Yeah, I'm blissfully like, yeah, it'll happen.
Like, it'll come out and it'll either be like really, really good and like mindfuck you in tons of ways, or to come out and just, I've got a feeling it's just gonna be like a jumbled mess that you're quote unquote not smart enough to get.
That's pretty much Metal Gear as a franchise.
Yeah,
really.
I know. I mean, I don't know.
I'm still keen. I think it'll be good. I believe I'll enjoy it because I like Kojima shit. So, there's not much I can say because there's not much to go about. And it's like, yeah, we're excited for it. Well, what else you want to know? What else you want to know?
But yeah, there are two more big names that are attached to the project now. I mean, of course, Troy Baker was probably going to be attached at some point. I mean, like I said, you don't get much bigger and deeper in the industry than him.
Yeah, and because he's such a prominent name with Sony's first parties, you know, especially, most recently with Uncharted.
And The Last of Us.
Sam Drake.
Yep.
Oh, and of course, Joel in The Last of Us.
Yep.
Which he may or may not be returning in The Last of Us 2.
So. Well, he was in the trailer, the first trailer, which he said, like, one sentence. Yeah. Like, are you really going to do this kid or something like that? But we don't know if he's, like, alive or not at that point. Number two,
that's speaking... Troy Baker, yeah.
Yeah, No, what? Speaking of Naughty Dog, while they're known for third-person action adventures... That was a fucking awesome segue. I'm really proud of that.
What was?
We're talking about Troy Baker, Last of Us, into the second bit of news, which is Naughty Dog.
On purpose. Oh, come on.
Fuck you. A future game from the studio might feature a different perspective for the player. Quote, we're totally open. The future, the next game, what we do might not be third person, Naughty Dog creative director Neil Druckmann said in a panel at DICE Summit 2018. When Naughty Dog was working on The Last of Us, Druckmann said the studio brainstormed whether the game should be first or third person. While the team ultimately settled on third person perspective with a tight camera, Druckmann said they've kicked around the idea of making a Naughty Dog first person game, even joked about how they might approach Half-Life 3. So Naughty Dog, from start to now, has always been third person.
Yep,
third person Crash, Jack and Daxter, Uncharted, Last of Us. What genre could they do? They do next. Mm.
My only concern would be, I think that there is such an extra layer of storytelling when it comes to third person. Mm. Like having them, you're able to see the characters in the remote. So, you know, like, granted, in cutscenes, they'll be in third person, but...
I don't know. I mean, you got games like, you know, Halo, which were renowned for their amazing story, and that was first person. Like,
that's true.
Not saying first person can't tell a good story. But yeah, I'm while I love what they do, I'd love to see them just take on, like what Guerrilla did, going from FPS to third person and really
like a big change.
Propelled them to that next level. I mean, Naughty Dog can't get on much of a higher level than they are now, but it'll be great to see what they could do with a whole new genre and a whole new perspective.
Oh, you know what I see them, what I want to see them to do? Puzzle game. Why not?
Why?
Because it's so different from everything else I've ever done.
And Uncharted is a puzzle game.
Yeah, but I mean like a Tetris.
Well, like a The Witness.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. First person.
Yeah.
No, I have no idea.
They just make it.
I have no idea what I want them to make, because for me it's like let them do whatever they want. Them to tell me what they want to make, and I'm like, yep.
Number three, Sony has launched a browser-based version of PSN, and it's live now. The news was announced on the Japanese PlayStation blog and picked up by users on Reset Error. The site is live now and isn't restricted to accounts in Japan. You can access it through your browser, smartphone, tablet, all that stuff. As well as editing your profile, you can also peruse your trophies and notifications. Additionally, the management of Sony's Sony Entertainment Network, SEN, accounts through the PlayStation official site will also be integrated into My PlayStation. So it's pretty much... social media, like
Facebook, PlayStation.
Yeah, well, I mean, you log into your account and it shows up pretty much like your Facebook. You got your profile icon there, but you can like message and type to your friends through it and all that. You can organize your groups and all that kind of stuff. Okay. It's pretty cool, but I can't.
I like the idea of it.
Yeah, the idea is cool, but I mean, you've already got the PlayStation app to kind of do the same thing.
But this is
browser based. Yeah, I know. It just seems kind of redundant, but. Presents really well, like it looks really nice.
I like the idea of it to sort of once again strengthening the ecosystem within PlayStation as like, you know, if you want to talk to people about PlayStation, about PlayStation shit, this is where it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there's no news from what I could see, there's no like news feed or anything. It's just the way
they could tie that in and like bring in like updates and stuff.
Yeah, like link their Facebook page feed to it or something. But
blog.
Think going to on your PlayStation, going to like edit your profile, that's pretty much what it is in the browser. With the ability to talk to your friends and everything through typing and stuff too. So check it out. It's worth just having a look at. It's interesting. It might take off, it might not, but you know, this is a PlayStation show and that's PlayStation news. Number four, Axis Games has announced Little Dragon's Cafe, the latest project from Harvest Moon's creator, Yasuhiro Wada. Little Dragon's Cafe will be released in the late summer 2018 on PS4 and Nintendo Switch. Here's a synopsis of the game courtesy of Axis. Now, I only put this in because of Harvest Moon and stuff like that.
My Harvest Moon loves.
This is from the guy that made... Mm-hmm. Created.
The guy that went off to do like story seasons and stuff. Yeah.
The story opens with the twin brother and sister learning to cook and manage a small cafe under their mother's tutelage. All was peaceful and routine until one morning when the twins discover that their mother has fallen into a deep sleep and won't wake up.
That's fucking horrifying.
Suddenly, a strange old man appears to inform them they must raise a dragon in order to save her.
I'm here to kiss your mom.
Working together with three quirky cafe employees, the two siblings must figure out how to wrangle a dragon and manage the family business while finding a way to save their mother. In addition to raising the dragon and managing the cafe, players will partake in several Harvest Moon-like activities, such as growing produce, fishing, learning new recipes, and taking on quests from neighbours.
Yep.
Could be cool. Sounds cool.
I'm in.
Sounds like a, you know, that like the Stardew kind of game, like that, the Harvest kind of game, but with, you know, a story there just to kind of keep
Yeah.
Because, you know, the only negatives I've seen from games like Stardew Valley is people who aren't familiar with it and just like, what am I supposed to be doing? Yeah, so the story gives you a little bit of
push it's like, forward. You know, grow your farm, survive 3 years, talk to your grandpa when he comes back, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm keen. Because, you know, I do love simulation games, in not like full simulation like Civ or anything, but Harvest Moon is obviously a big one for me, you know, and this is something a little bit different. It's like, get to run a cafe. I'm like, oh, I haven't played a game where I run a cafe.
Yeah. Be on, PS4 and the Switch. No Xbox release.
Suck it. What?
Number five, Australia's Interactive Games and Entertainment Association, IGEA, has announced that Australian consumer spending on video games and related hardware hit $3.23 billion in 2017, breaking through the $3 billion mark that the industry came close to cracking last year.
Very cool.
The figure includes...
You're gonna puke right now?
No, the hiccups. The figure includes physical retail sales of $1.176 billion, digital sales of $2.054 billion. The majority of digital sales were from mobile game sales. But digital full game downloads and digital extras have also increased by 17% and 12% respectively. Hardware sales spiked 36% with the Nintendo Switch, NES Classic and SNES Classic, and the Xbox One X all hitting shelves last year. Subscription revenue has also grown by 14% as gamers can continue to join PS Plus and Xbox Live. That's a whole lot of money.
There's a whole lot of money into all the games.
If we could just funnel some of that money into the actual developers in Australia wanting to make fucking games, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the government has tried. They've like done, but it's just like breadcrumbs. Yeah, it's like, oh, he's just shut up. He's $10,000. Just shut your fucking mouth.
Well, you know, they're like Trump is going on this tirade of games of what? Of course, shooting.
Yeah, like
Samuel Cohen. It's all
like
back again.
Back in the '90s again.
Yeah.
But you know, if you think like 100 years ago, people were being burned at the stake for being witches. So humans have just always been trash. I mean, it's not video games. We've always...
Humans are consistently shit.
We've just been... from going back to, like, ancient Rome and even further, you know, when you find, like, the Neanderthals with the spear through their fucking head, humans have just been shit from the dawn of time.
My favourite quote that I think applies to almost everything is from our buddy Tom Heath from Load Screen and A Natural Selection. People are people. People are garbage. Things never change.
Ooh.
People never change. I'm like, people are garbage. That's consistently. It's pretty fucking spot on.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. A lot of money being spent on games, which is good.
Mobile games.
You know, but it's, great. Mobile games are always going to still be a thing. That doesn't change. Your son's out on playing on an iPad now. That's technically mobile games. Like, he's probably funneled some money in there.
Yeah. Dad, can I get this?
What the problem, man?
It's only 99 cents. Okay.
And the next day, this is 99 cents.
Yeah, I found he was playing an app the other week, whereas like you could subscribe, it's like a piano app, like he's playing now, but to unlock more songs you had to pay like a weekly subscription. And for it was $15 a week.
Ew.
And there's a few more he's brought to me as well, where there's like, if you want to access all the content, it's X amount per month. There's like more than Netflix per month to play this shitty
piano game
free. It's much, but I know a lot of parents will fall into that trap too, because a lot of them just aren't in the know and don't.
That's true, but like, look, it's promising. It's showing that the games industry is certainly not dying by any stretch. You know,
it's better than ever.
It is,
and literally better than ever.
And like, it also shows that, you know, like, we'll still get our packs, we'll still get EB Expo, we'll still get, like, as in there's still an industry, there's still demand, people still love games here, so it's going to help fuel all of it.
I forgot to put this bit of news in, but Guerrilla Games also won the DICE Award for Best Storytelling recently as well, so congrats
you
to
go
them.
Them
and another one as well, they won like two, I forgot one, but yeah, cool,
very cool.
Every week it's like, Horizon's won this award, that award, Guerrilla are doing well.
It's like a year later.
Almost a year later now. Top selling games for week ending 18th of February 2018. Starting number 10, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 9, Destiny 2. Number 8, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 7, The Secret of Mana Remake. Number 6, COD World War 2. Number 5, Shadow of the Colossus. Number 4, UFC 3. Number 3... I forgot the name of it, and I couldn't read the text because it was so small on the Facebook thumbnail. That Monster Supercross game thing. Number 2, Kingdom Come Deliverance. And number 1, Monster Hunter World.
So, Shadow of Colossus took a big dive.
As is custom.
As is tradition.
As is tradition.
It's good to see Kingdom Come Deliverance coming up there. It's a game, you know, that was essentially a Kickstarter-funded game that's come out and... getting well reception. Apparently it's very buggy, and which comes as a Kickstarter game. What do you expect?
Monster Hunter World, apparently its sales trajectory is outpacing Battlefront 2 as well.
Good.
Which for Monster Hunter, for the series as a whole, that's fucking huge. Like, that is
Monster Hunter is doing fantastic.
Yeah. Rightfully so. It's just a pleasure to play.
How many people are downing Monster Cross thing?
7.
Yeah, about 15.
That's why it's third.
And then like 2 people bought Crash. I need to confirm these numbers. I need to we need to talk to the IGEA. We need to find out what's going on.
Well, just message PlayStation Australia on the Facebook page.
Hey, like, we're just sort of curious.
Oh yeah, we have a podcast and stuff, but you know.
Like, hey, we're just sort of curious when it comes to like games and shit. How many you sell?
That's it for the news this week. As we move, That's it for the news this week. Ryan, now let's have a chat to the players about Metal Gear Survive. First impressions.
Yes, Metal Gear Survive is the latest game in the Metal Gear franchise from Konami. It is the first game under that brand to be without series creator Hideo Kojima. And the internet is divided.
Yeah, that's not even divided.
The internet is fucking furious.
So... do you want to talk about that first, or do you want to talk about the game itself first?
The game, in there, I think the game provides context for that. So, okay. The whole concept of the game is during the events of Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, Metal Gear Solid The Phantom Pain, Mother Base, which is one of the like sort of mid-ocean bases that Big Boss had, gets ripped into an alternate dimension, plonks in the ultimate dimension is called DITE. And then there's a bunch of creatures that are infected with this Kuban crystals, and they're it's almost like a flesh eating, like human killing disease thing. Turns them into zombies with big crystal heads.
Unicorns.
And unicorns pretty much. And in the same in an attempt to be Kojima-esque in its storytelling, it's sort of setting up that these creatures have been spotted throughout history at different times. And they've all been like jumping between dimensions. So we've got to try and stop them before they can make their way back again.
Cool. So yeah, I had, unfortunately didn't get a chance to play it. The only time I have played it is when we played the beta weekend together, cooperatively. It's fucking so much fun. It was so good. But you streamed it and you were playing it when I got here today. So what do you think?
Yeah, so we had some trouble with the stream initially. So we did receive the code, as we mentioned. Thank you to QVS Australia and Kat and the team. We got it the day before. So I downloaded it while I was at work, came home, got ready to stream at 8 as we normally do. You need to update the game. You want to play the game? I'm like, okay, check the update.
But they had
no
update. The update out yet.
I'm like, all right, cool. So I gave it like, I'm like, all right, we'll delay the stream. We'll see what happens. I'm just doing the, telling it to automatically refresh for a check for an update. Bing, 1.01. Cool, 3.5 gig, 20 minutes. All right, done, let's do this. I'll stream at 9. Comes in, 9 o'clock hits. Bing, you do not have the latest update. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And then about 5 minutes into the stream, it's like, bing, and like a 90 meg download, which then flicks the switch and allows you access the servers. Now, I don't believe that's a fault of the game. I believe that's a fault of the servers PSN. Themselves. And not the PSN. It's sort of, you know, because we were playing it a day before release. So it's very likely that the servers weren't ready to go. But at the same time, if they are giving out codes for press, why are they not working? You know what I mean? And then, you know, because we are small time outlets right here in Australia. So what about the bigger guys? Did they get it earlier and they just couldn't play it? Like, what does that mean? You know, pretty some dirty shit when it comes to the review side of things. But that's fine. Once it got up and running, it had no problem. And it played just fine.
So explain the concept of the single player to me.
So the single player is along the lines of, during those events where your big boss arrives at the base, he finds it engulfed in flames, he fights his way through, he escapes with Kaz Miller, who's in one of the other characters, yanks him out, and they fuck off. And then portal opens, shit gets yanked through, and you wake up in this other dimension. And then it's like, yeah, we need you to do things. So the whole, it is essentially taking some of the mother base system from Metal Gear Solid 5, and in terms of the base, the bases, right? So in the map, you have a small section which is your area, it's your fortified base, where your base operations. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is for you to go from the DTE back to the regular Earth, regular dimension, Dimension 1.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do it as sort of a series of tasks and survive to be able to get out.
So survive, obviously. So the game's core systems are survival and crafting,
without a doubt.
Which that's survival crafting is a hard sell.
Yeah.
But
so thankfully, with the co-op gameplay, so the salvage missions, they don't take into account your oxygen, your health, your like those things sort of get left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big focus of the single player, obviously. The key things obviously are hunger and thirst and body damage.
Yeah.
So you know, you have to constantly keep eating, you have to keep drinking, you want to make sure you're drinking clean water. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you'll get sick.
So playing,
it's kind of like the things you find in like Rust or Ark or
I was gonna say, like playing games like, because I played 7 Days to Die for more hours than I care to admit, because Alex really, really enjoyed it back then. At the start of the game, it was quite difficult to have your clean water and to have a steady income of food, but by a couple of hours later, you've got more than you could ever want.
Mm.
Is it scarce so far? Because I saw that in your mother base, you were like, you had like a little veggie patch or something, like you were growing food. Is that enough to like... Is it hard to keep your stats up? Because the worst thing about a survival game is when it's like, yeah, you're getting hungry and thirsty, and it's like, well, where the fuck is food and water? Like, this is ridiculous.
What's really handy is where your base is located, just over to like the west of it, there's a lake.
Mm.
And there's like a small lake, small pond with a bunch of sheep around it, and those sheep do respawn. Okay. So you can wander over there and you can get water, punch the sheep and take them back.
Yeah,
there's your meat, there's your meats, there's your food. And the lake itself is dirty water, it's infected water. At this stage, it takes a while for you to get to be able to make clean water. Mm. But once you can, you'll be fine.
Like, you can't just boil it.
You can boil it, but you don't have the, you need to craft something
in, a saucepan.
You need to craft like a pot above a campfire. Right, okay. So you have a campfire, that's where you cook all your food.
Yeah.
And then you have a bunch of dirty water. But when you start following the story missions and you're going out and you're sort of doing what you need to, you'll always find bottles of clean water at where you're heading.
Yeah.
So in that interim, you've got enough to sort of keep yourself going, like just enough to survive. And then, if you take the risk and you have some of the dirty water here and there, as I've drank probably bottles and bottles of that shit, and I've had the stomach bug once.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like a chance thing. Yeah, so it's and you're not sick.
But is it fun?
Yeah.
Gameplay-wise, is it?
Like, it's a little repetitive at the same time. Like, that's what I'm enjoying it, I'm having fun. Like, I loved Metal Gear. Like, I love Metal Gear. And, like, Metal Gear Solid 5, like... Because essentially what they've done here is, I think they wanted to make a survival game. They wanted to make something that is sort of cool, quote unquote. It does feel a little bit created by committee. Like, what's really cool right now? Survival games, zombies, microtransactions, and purchasable currency.
Yeah.
And like things like that, right? I'm like, okay, cool. So you can kind of feel that we've picked what was hot, and like, okay, we don't want to make a brand new game for this because we don't have the time or money.
Do have the money.
No, but as in time and money to make a brand new game. So what they've done is, because with Metal Gear Solid 5, they built the Fox engine for that, entirely for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Kojima talked about how he made them build this Fox engine, right? And then he bounced. And then they had the kerfuffle and he's out, right?
Yeah.
So they've got, we've got this brand new engine, all these assets that we got no use for. So that's where I think the Metal Gear name comes in. They're like, because we have this base system, essentially like the engine of a car. Yeah.
I don't blame them for doing it. I mean, building an engine from scratch is like one of the
stupidly expensive,
most expensive and time consuming things you can do as a as a developer.
There's a reason EA are trying to push every one of their internal developers to use Frostbite.
Yeah.
Because it's a big fucking expensive thing to do.
Yeah.
And granted, Frostbite is not well optimized for anything other than first person shooters, but it's like, yeah, but we can't, we don't want to make another one.
And it's their assets.
Yeah.
They can do whatever the fuck they want. That's true. Whether Kojima's there or not, I mean, it's fine. Like, to me, it's fine. They've got the assets, they've got it, they wanted to make a new, quote-unquote, new game, and they did with everything that they had available to them, and that's totally fine.
And in terms of everyone being butthurt about how it like ruins the Metal Gear name or whatever, yeah, it does. But remember, it's alternate dimension.
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want in there. You don't even have to pretend it happened.
I've become really, like, especially lately, like, really disenfranchised with the internet.
Oh, because it's just, I get it all the time.
But like now more than ever, it's just this big echo chamber. And we've said it before, but it is just, if you go to Metacritic for Metal Gear Survive right now. If you go to Metacritic for Metal Gear Survive right now, the user ratings are at like a 2 because it's Konami. But if you read through some of the reviews, a lot of them, too many of them say, I've never played the game, but quote, hashtag fuck Konami. Yeah, it's cool to be like fuck Konami. Mm. It's not. That's not.
And then there are people throwing tens in there just to shift it.
Yeah, but being so dismissive just because it's got the Konami name is incredibly disrespectful and detrimental to the people that actually made the game. People that just work at Konami and have nothing to do with, you know, all the decisions made behind the scenes, by you just shitting on it just because it's Konami without actually playing the game at all. You're part of a bigger problem with the industry. And it's the same when everyone was shitting on DICE and EA for Battlefield and all that. Yeah, you can shit on it, that's fine, but don't forget
Battlefront.
People sat down and made this game, and people just wanted to make a good fucking game, and to think it's any different at Konami is just hyperbolic, because it's not. The people working at Konami on the ground floor just tried to make a good game and do exactly what they were told to make the game that they had to make. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of developers' bonuses and salaries are tied to ratings. So if you're just going in there going, ha, fuck Konami, lol, it's funny to jump on this bandwagon, I never played the actual game, you're fucking these people over because you're a dickhead. And I hate it. I really fucking hate it. I use the internet now less than I have ever. And funnily enough, the only app I use for quote-unquote social media is Reddit. And Reddit is one of the subreddits that I browse and peruse is one of the friendliest, best places I've been on the internet before, ever. And it's incredible because, you know, you hear Reddit and you think, oh, it's like the cesspool of the internet. And sure, it is. If you go to the subreddits that allow that, like there are subreddits that are like, you know, called trashy, where you go there and it's like pictures of trash people and people just fucking ragging on them. But the video game communities there are incredibly healthy and incredibly helpful. And the rest of the internet can fuck itself because I'm so over it and I hate it so much. Have Konami partaken in bad business practices?
Yes,
absolutely. You have to pay $10 for extra save slots in Metal Gear Survive. That's pretty shit. And you don't have to, but if you want another one, you have to pay. But you don't have to. But that's the whole thing with microtransactions. But they're completely optional. It's a whole thing. But shitting on the game itself just because it has Konami on the label is just not the right way to do anything. And it's you are shit people if you do that.
I agree.
And, whether or not this cut, like whether the dislikes are up or whatever, I don't actually really care at the moment, because the point is, if you're just bandwagoning with this, you know, hashtag fuck Konami, then fuck you. And it's the same thing. Like, I love Jim Sterling. I love his content. I watched his probably 3 minutes of his Metal Gear Survive first impressions, and the bias was instant. In the opening line, his bias against Konami was just, it was there. And it's like, he's not going to rate this game for what it is because he hates Konami so much. I couldn't watch it because I found he was twisting things just to kind of get his point across. And he doesn't do it a lot, but because I watch him so much, I think I can kind of tell when he does. And the bias against Konami was real. It's just like, this game is fucking trash bag. And it's really not. It's actually not fun, and it's quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying my time with this game. Like, and take it from someone that fucking loves the Metal Gear franchise. One of the first games I ever played on PS1, and it's like one of the most important franchises to me as a gamer, to me as a PlayStation fan. You know, and then, but I come into this with an open mind. It's kind of like, you know, I'm not saying that we're like the purest of media or whatever, but by any stretch of the imagination. But like,
yeah, give me our conversation before we roll the film.
But I mean, like, we're like, you know, we're a place where like, okay, cool, I love Metal Gear, you don't have an attachment to it, let's try this new one out. Let's see how it is. Let's give it a fair go.
Yeah.
The true Australian way, give it a fair go.
Yeah, I mean, companies like Konami and EA do deserve backlash. There's a right way to do it. I don't know what it is, which might seem hypocritical because I'm saying don't do this because it's shit. But it is shit. There is a right way to do it and a right way to be like, this is not okay. But just like rate bombing or whatever they call it and all that, it's not the right way to go about it because the game itself is fun and it looks fun.
See, what I'm finding is lacking is a genuine, mature conversation about this game. Yeah, are there things about this game that should be discussed, you know, as in like a quite, you know, some negatives that should be talked about? Fuck yeah, there should be. And is there some things that should be praised about this game? Fuck yeah, it should be. You know what I mean? Like, people just, as you mentioned, the echo chamber, the extremism that we live right now, this is obviously great to talk about a bigger society, but in terms of games in particular, is there is no nuance reviews anymore. The internet itself is the general masses. There is no nuance. There is no, something can be a 7 and it's fine. It either needs to
7 is good.
It needs to either be a 0 or a 10. I strongly disagree with that, you know. Like, there are other people that we know, and when they review review movies or TV or game or whatever, like, it's either the best or the worst thing in the world.
See, from critic reviews, Metal Gear Survive is sitting at a 65. So yeah, 6.5, maybe 7. That's an acceptable video game.
That's valid. And
keep in mind, they're not charging AAA pricing for this.
Yeah, you've got to remember, this is a cheaper game. So it's not as expensive as a full price, and you're not expected to pay full price. And most people are giving it, you know, sevens, by the looks.
Oh, yeah, we got 50, 60, 70, 70, 70. That's fine. That's an acceptable video game.
Because you know what I would, if we still rated games, you know what I'd rate it right now? 70. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. It's good.
And then there's, I think this is new, they have critic reviews in progress. So, you know, Destructoid hasn't put their thoughts in, Eurogamer, IGN haven't put their thoughts in.
Yeah, because they're still
Jim Sterling hasn't yet. But that at least means they're giving it a fair go before they rate it. Whereas you jump over to the user reviews and it's just zeros all around. Zeros, but even the tens are just trying to incite the flame war as well. Like, they're not real tens from the users. It's just, you know, let's have some fun with this. And it's just, it's not okay. It's not okay.
Because I said, I want to have a conversation with people in, like, Facebook groups and stuff about this. You know, like, it was one of the groups I'm a part of, and someone posted, like, hey, I think the game is kind of good. And I jumped in and went, yeah, man, you're one of the good ones. Like, and we had a discussion about it. It was great.
Yeah.
And then surrounding us was, fuck Konami. Yeah. I'm like, dude, like, you're not helping the look of gamers.
But the problem with those people is that even if you say, like, just play it. Even if they do, they're going in with that mindset that they're not going to enjoy it anyway.
Yeah, funny enough, even when we were streaming it on Wednesday, right, we had a guy come in who was just slagging it off. And I'm like, dude, you understand it's super fucking weird that you hate this game so much that you've taken the time out of your day to come and talk to someone who's playing it and enjoying it just to try shit on it. I'm like, do you have nothing else better to do with your evening than to come and watch someone play it? And then sure enough, he was like, oh yeah, no, I understand. Look, he kind of started opening up. He had a better dialogue. And like, yeah, he was still giving it shit, but it was more like witty shit and it was kind of funny. And, you know, as in, like, it wasn't just like spewing hate.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, shitting on Konami and shitting on their games are two very different things. If you want to shit on the game, play the game and give it constructive shitticism. I just made that up. But shitting on the game because of Konami is also not the right way to do things. But that's really a whole different discussion. The game itself is fun. It is worth a try.
Yeah, look, I'm still about 4 hours in at this point, because I did the 2 hours on the stream and I played about 45 minutes before we came in here, and then a scattering throughout between the stream and now.
If nothing better comes up by next week, we'll probably revisit it, because I'll have given it a chance. I'll have been able to get into it by then.
There is nothing coming of note coming next
week. Yeah, so unless some big news
drops. There's like one VR game or something, but...
No, but I mean, unless some big news drops for the topic next week or whatever, we may revisit it.
I do, like I said, I do want to have a proper review discussion with it, on and spend some time with you in the multiplayer, and, you know, because right now I've played very single player, and I do want to make that transition and try it.
Because like, you keep the same character, don't you, between single and multi? Yeah.
So everything you gather in Salvage, you can bring over to the base game, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. So it actually benefits you to go into the co-op and, like, try some things and work with people. And yeah, and so we had so much fun with the beta, and I think that fun will continue.
And it really surprised me. I think I had so much fun because I was expecting very little just from general internet browsing. I was expecting it just to be fucking rat shit. Mm. And it wasn't. I had so much fun. I don't know how much I'd enjoy it playing by myself, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a go anyway. But the
you're going to have to, because there takes you a while to be able to open up the co-op. So
right, okay.
You want to spend a little bit of time by yourself.
But yeah, the co-op was so much fun. And I thought the lobby was a very, very cool...
We just had fun. We
spent an hour in the lobby.
Yeah, made gauntlet runs for each other.
Yeah, like hey, the tar traps and all that.
Yeah, here's some tar traps. Here's we some made, like, electric shock things.
Yeah, and then we put
get to the end.
We fenced it all in and put a turret at the end of it. Yeah. But even like, what's Ryan running? And there's just this big scoreboard of like all Ryan's loadout. I'm like, okay, well, he doesn't have turrets, so I'll grab some turrets.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just cool ideas.
Yeah, like
man.
I said, it does pull a lot of what's popular right now. It brings the fort building of Fortnite. It brings zombies from every fucking zombie game there is. It brings the taste of Metal Gear because it's a Metal Gear name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's bringing all the bits of survival game. Yeah, survival of like Ark and, you know, and Rust.
And having said that, like watching right before we started this, you were playing, and then from this back room here, I heard, "What the fuck is that?" And I'm not going to say what it was, but I came out, I was like, fucking Jesus Christ. Like,
what's the context for that?
Yeah, was just a really cool surprise. Mm. But, you know, apparently only Kojima can have good ideas and nobody else in all of Konami can think of something interesting.
Like, don't get me wrong. In terms of the story, like, they are really trying to bring... Like, you can clearly see they're putting an effort to bring the Kojima-ness to it. There's in terms of how the dialogue is written, how it's delivered, the big grandioseness of it all. Like, they are trying really hard to make it the best Metal Gear game that they could, from what I've experienced so far. You know, there's a big fuck off thing that's kind of like oh, the Metal Gears, you're like, I didn't, what, how, and thinking, you know, in the same weirdness of Metal Gear Solid 5, it's all there, and there's a lot of like unnecessary exposition, which is a Kojima trait, by the way. For those who even think he's a fantastic writer, let him tell you the same thing 5 times.
I think them using the assets was best case scenario for them, because they could have built this thing from the ground up and it would still be shit onto the ground.
Konami, yeah.
So I can understand why they wanted just to use the engine, use the assets, because like I said, if they spent an extra $50 million to build this new game from the ground up, they would still just get shit all over. Mm. So I don't blame them.
But if you do happen to pick it up, let us know what you think in the comments below and also on the Facebook group and whatnot. And be sure to add us on PSN. Names are in the description. You can come and chat. You can come chat with us in the lobby. We can go and to work it all together. I mean, you can see the fun of it, of working as a team.
Or maybe it's because we're such fun people.
Add that to
maybe not from that conversation. We seemed like Debbie Downers there, but you know.
Oh, we are Debbie Downers, but like we're Debbie Downers in the way of why isn't everyone more happy?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
but no, I completely agree about the internet being a giant fuckhole. Yeah. And that's on a side conversation, because that's what we try to do here. We don't. Granted, we are a PlayStation show, so there is some quote unquote inherent bias, I guess. But we do our very best to not run that bias, and that means not follow the echo chamber of other media outlets, of other, you know, other sites, other podcasts. Like, yes, the whole idea is these are our opinions, and our opinions are formed by everybody else. But you're not going to hear what other people say here. Is the whole point? What I'm trying to get at.
Which is why you have a list of words that you just will not say.
As I mentioned, there are a list of words that I refuse to use when talking in this show, purely because they're just expressions that are part of the video game vernacular, and I personally have no... I don't want anyone to listen to this and go, okay, they sound like this other show.
Mm.
You know, because I listen to a bunch of other shows, and like they all sound the same.
But maybe we do too. We don't.
We could.
Yeah.
It's very likely that we do sound the
That's
same.
That's our bias for our show.
But, you know, I myself am trying not to. One thing that we do the same that everybody else does is we tell you what games are coming out this week using a section we call Coming to the Players. We go to the PlayStation website and we pull from the drop.
Blasters of the Universe, PSVR Digital. Bridge Constructor Portal, PSVR Digital.
That.
This looks like it looks fun.
I'm
Bold Boy, PS4 Digital. Crypt of the Serpent King.
That looks like an old DOS game.
PS1 Digital. De Blob 2, PS4 Digital and Retail. Don't Knock Twice, PSVR Retail. Gravel, PS4 Digital and Retail. Heroin, Anthem Zero Episode 1. Heroin, not the kind you shoot up. Or maybe it is, and it's a misleading thumbnail.
Yeah, Heroin.
Hex Tunnel, PSVR Digital. Immortal Redneck, PS4 Digital.
What?
Jeton Meroe, Hero of the Universe, PS4 Digital. Moss, PSVR Digital.
I've reached out to PlayStation for Moss. It's a PlayStation VR exclusive. I'm very keen to check that out. A
lot of VR games this week. Mulaka, PS4 Digital.
Is it Mulaka?
Who says that? Is it an insult?
I'm pretty sure it's an insult in like Greek or something,
no,
right?
No, it's Italian?
Yeah.
Because there's a member of my family who is Italian, and I can picture her saying, "Ah, you're Mulaka."
Yeah.
You're a fuckhead in this game. That's what I gathered it means, because in the context she uses Mulaka, it's like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's kind of what it means. Yeah. Might have to Google search on that one.
Perfect Angle, PS4 Digital. Riftstar Raiders, PS4 Digital. Siam. Speedrunners from Hell. Siam. It's a cool thumbnail. It looks more redneck than that redneck game. Shiny, a robotic adventure, PS4 Digital and Retail. Timothy versus the Aliens, PS4 Digital.
That's way too many games that are all garbage. Except for Moss.
That's part of the problem right there.
Yeah.
I didn't play them, but they're garbage.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
a lot of smaller games out this week. No real big releases.
Will play.
But
I'll
Bridge Constructor Portal is probably the top pick for the week.
Given.
And Moss as well. But I don't have VR set, so what do I care?
Are you going to be available for streaming on Wednesday, you reckon?
I don't know.
What day is the 3rd? What day is the 1st of March?
A Wednesday.
Ooh, maybe we
next
can
Wednesday.
Maybe we can stream that. I think that'd be fun.
What, Bridge Constructor?
Yeah, it'd be stupid.
Oh, yeah. All 25 the kid.
Yep, and if Moss arrives, we might play Moss instead.
Because it's cool, like, when it was school holidays, because it doesn't matter what time he goes to bed. I don't give a crap what time he goes to bed. But school nights, you know, he'll be getting home at like going to bed at like 11, and that's not okay. Mm. On the weekends, I let him stay up as long as he wants. But the joke's on him, right?
If it's
a school night, he goes to bed between 9 and 9:30, just depending what's going on. And he's like, "Oh, I'm not tired." And like Friday, Saturday night, I'm like, "I'm playing the PlayStation. You can stay up as long as you want. It's a weekend. I don't care. Stay up."
Is bed at 9:30?
Yeah, like 10 o'clock, he's out. It's like an extra half an hour. He's like, "Yeah, stay up all night, yeah, woo." And then, sure enough, 10 o'clock on the couch next to me. It's having that freedom of like, I can go to sleep whenever I want.
Yeah.
And I want to go to sleep now.
Behind the scenes, I am looking at what we can do for when we hit 1,000 subs. And one thing I want to do is like a 12-hour stream so that we can test, you know, our stream length ability. Ooh. So even one day we can do a 24. Even if we do 12 hours, say we do from 10 to 10, I'm going to be tired at 8. I'm an old man.
The only way I can survive that stream is if we have a good chunk of Monster Hunter in there.
My plan of attack at this point is we'll do it in this room, but we'll have rotating people. So that way we can all go duck out, you know, we can chill out for a while, we can come back in.
I'll be smoking up a storm.
Yeah, there'll be one person, like, granted, one person be playing any one time, and then we'll bring in, you know, Popsy and friends, we'll bring in, like, our buddies Jono and Paul and Jack and, you know, any of our buddies that want to come hang out for a while, sort of help stretch it out, and then in there we'll get an FTP, we'll get a Popcorn Spoilers in there, that's 2 hours under the belt. No extra effort.
Because I can play Monster Hunter for 12 hours, and I have done it a couple of times now since launch.
Because what I'm also looking... if you can bring your PlayStation, you can play your save, you can sort of jump in a little bit. One thing I do want to do, though, which we're still in the works for, is I want to try reach out to our lovely PR peoples and sort of if we can get... Because I want to give away a game on the hour every hour. 12
Jesus
hours. That's my
plan.
I want to make it fun. I want to make a good celebration for hitting our 1,000 subs. And I also have our buddy, one of my friends, who also has a plan to help us once we pass 1,000.
Cryptic.
Something cool to give away. Don't want to spoil that just yet.
If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. How do you join that conversation? Simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. Or if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show your support for the Pop Cultures, head over to thepopcultures.com/shop, where you can buy merchandise like shirts and cups and mugs and all those things, anything we can slap our logo on, we have. And was this something else I say after that?
Look sexy or something like that.
Yeah, looking sexy. I'm not sure. Anyways, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players. And we'll make sure that we save the audio this time. Yeah, sorry about that last week.